On Tuesday's front page, stocks plummeted amid nervousness over the downgrade of long-term government debt in this country and fiscal problems in Europe. In Japan, there's anger over radiation forecasts that officials withheld. And the sun will come out tomorrow, but the star of a Broadway revival of the musical Annie may get the part a whole new way. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the stock market buckled under the weight of the debt crisis in Europe and the downgrade of long-term government debt in this country. The Dow Jones Industrials plunged 634 points. It was the worst day for the market since the financial crisis in the fall of 2008. Stocks have now lost 15% of their value in just 2.5 weeks. J.P. Morgan Fund's market strategist David Kelly says investors are running from risk wherever they see it. In Washington, President Obama defended the nation's creditworthiness.
The fact is, we didn't need a rating agency to tell us that we need a balanced, long-term approach to deficit reduction. That was true last week. That was true last year. That was true the day I took office. And we didn't need a rating agency to tell us that the gridlock in Washington over the last several months has not been constructive, to say the least.
Stocks lost ground while the president was on the air. The Times' John Harwood looks at why the anxiety runs so deep.
The downgrading of U.S. debt by Standard & Poor's is a problem for everybody. For stock market investors, because the market's going down. For ordinary Americans, because it may portend further economic weakness. For Republicans, because they blocked the large deficit deal that the president had gone for. And the president, perhaps most of all, because it happened on his watch. And what we've seen from the president in addressing the downgrade is trying to use the shock to the American psyche, the negative energy from that, and turn it positive by saying that S&P was downgrading the United States not on its actual credit rating, but on the ability of its political system to move forward.
The Times' John Harwood. Times reporters Helene Cooper and Jennifer Steinhauer say the president ran through the same talking points he'd used during the debt ceiling negotiations. On Capitol Hill, congressional Republicans and Democrats also repeated arguments they'd made before while accusing the other side of not compromising enough. Standard & Poor's took more action. It downgraded the housing giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac because they get government support. Also on Tuesday's front page, Japan had a government computer system to predict where radiation from nuclear plants would spread. Tokyo bureaucrats didn't publicize the forecasts after the problems at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. Later, officials played down the data, apparently because they were afraid they'd have to enlarge the area being evacuated. Some current and former officials say Japanese authorities withheld information to keep the public from questioning the politically powerful nuclear industry. Violence and looting spread to new areas of London and to a second major city in Britain. Hundreds of young people clashed with riot officers in the Hackney Borough of North London. The rioters smashed store windows and attacked police cars. Violence was also reported in the city of Birmingham. Prime Minister David Cameron was apparently caught off guard. He was vacationing at an Italian villa that cost $10,000 a week. He's returning to London and plans to convene a cabinet-level meeting on Tuesday. The Justice Department and four states are accusing a big for-profit college company of fraud. They say Education Management Corporation was not eligible for $11 billion in state and federal financial aid money it's received since mid-2003. Education Management is 41% owned by the Wall Street firm Goldman Sachs. Education Management denied any wrongdoing. Actors don't audition for Broadway the way they used to. Casting directors used to audition every performer live and in person. Now they watch videos. So far, 320 young actresses have auditioned by video for the 2012 revival of Annie. Casting director Bernard Telsey has called 20 of them back for in-person auditions. A revival of Funny Girl also held an online casting call. It got 308 videos. The leading role is going to television and stage actress Lauren Ambrose. Inside Tuesday's Times, Syria's isolation deepened in the wake of President Bashar al-Assad's brutal crackdown. Times reporter Anthony Shadid looks at the reaction.
Escalating crackdown has drawn condemnations across the world, from the Pope on Sunday to the United Nations on Saturday, to a litany of complaints from Arab countries. Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait all withdrew their ambassadors. The criticism is perhaps most remarkable because of a custom on the part of Arab countries in the past not to criticize each other. There's perhaps a sectarian overtone to the criticism as well. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar all have Sunni governments. Syria, of course, is run by the minority Alawite leadership, though the country itself has a Sunni Muslim majority. Despite the condemnations, there's no signs that the government is willing to relent in the crackdown. The foreign minister this weekend promised free and transparent elections by the end of the year. But these reforms have seemed mainly rhetorical in the face of the violence and an escalating death toll.
Times reporter Anthony Shadid. The House is ending the PAGE program that let high school students serve as messengers and learn about Congress. The PAGE program launched some political careers and ended others, but House leaders say it's a victim of budget cutting and technology. Lawmakers with BlackBerries don't need pages to carry messages or documents around. Pages won't completely disappear from the Capitol. The Senate will still have them. Here in New York, the hotel housekeeper who accused Dominique Strauss-Kahn of sexual assault is suing him. Nafisatou Diallo says Strauss-Kahn robbed her of her dignity as a woman. Her lawyers said in court papers they're prepared to introduce other women he's attacked. The timing of the lawsuit was unusual. Accusers usually wait until the related criminal case has been settled before going to civil court. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts at nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.